On the line from Israel is Neil Lazarus, who is a political commentator. Neil, thanks so much for joining us on the Home Run. We've seen a bump in support for the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the latest polls. What do you think is driving that? Fear, trust, or lack of alternatives?
Well, first of all, thanks for inviting me. Bibi Netanyahu is always very strong on his security front. The events of October the 7th set him back as far as challenging his image as Mr. Security. This is really, the Iran war is really Netanyahu's comfort zone. He went and visited families in Bat Yam whose houses had been destroyed hours after the missile landed. He hadn't been visiting anyone on the kibbutz near the Gaza Strip, or hasn't visited them since October the 7th. So this fits very much into his agenda politically. What we're seeing is a couple of interesting things there. First of all, if I'm referring to, there were two major polls, one from Channel 13 and television, and second of all from Maariv newspaper in Israel. Important to note that these polls were taken before American intervention in Iran. But what they do show is a couple of things. First of all, that the popularity of the Likud party, Netanyahu's party, has gained from 24 seats to 27. If we just backtrack, remember, the Israeli Knesset has 120 seats, you have to get 61 as a majority. So Netanyahu has gone up from 24 to 27. What's also interesting is his major contender for being prime minister has gone down in seats to 27 to 24. That's Bennett. The other issue, which I think is interesting, is where Netanyahu's gained his popularity from. He seems to be taking seats from Ben-Gvir, the populist nationalist to the further to the right of Netanyahu, whose party's gone down from 9 seats to 6. Having said everything that I've just said right now, at the end of the day, the Netanyahu bloc coalition he could make is still short of 61. His bloc would get around 50 seats. The opposition would come in at around 60 seats. And we're back to more familiar ground that where we were before October the 7th, where the Arab parties were also holding the balance of power between the two major contenders.
Is this a long-term shift in the political map, or is it just a wartime blip?
Well, it's a shift, but you would imagine that the shift would have been much better for Netanyahu. You would have imagined like he would be winning it straight out. What we're seeing is that there's shifts within blocks. In other words, the far right of Ben-Gvir is moving more towards Netanyahu and his policy towards Iran. There's a general consensus over the war against Iran on all sides of the political spectrum. The reality is we're not seeing people moving to Netanyahu, say from the center left. He's not attracting his opponents as such. And I think that that's important. So again, it's still, I think that the opposition can feel comfortable that Netanyahu, if elections were held today, wouldn't win the enough seats to form a government.
How do you explain the move from the right, you were mentioning Ben-Gvir, towards Netanyahu? Can you make sense of why that's happening?
Increasingly Netanyahu's moved further and further to the right. The war with Iran, both Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, people on the right of the political spectrum, further right than Netanyahu, had been holding Netanyahu to political ransom. With the attack on Iran and the success of the campaign so far, I think those people, the natural voters of Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, are starting to move back to Netanyahu and the Likud. We also have to see how this war goes. At the moment, it's successful. If this gets into a war of attrition, which many people are worrying that it could do, that it won't be days or weeks, it could go on for months, the popularity of Netanyahu could be affected again.
Neil, I know I'm asking you to speculate, but If elections were held today, you mentioned that Arab parties could be the deciding factor. Any idea, if elections were held today, which way they would go?
Okay, so you have some of the parties wouldn't vote with any Israeli or Zionist party. We've had in the past one political Arab party, Ram, which did go in with Bennett and Lapid of Yesh Atid. So that is a possibility. Look, the Israeli Arabs represent 20% of the Israeli population. And I would argue that it's important for them to have a voice in the Knesset and in the government so that we can have budgets equally shared.
And you mentioned support for Bennett, Naftali Bennett, having decreased. Any thinking around that?
Again, there's a decrease. It's by 3 to 4 seats. Is that a major swing away from him? Probably not. Look, Netanyahu has taken the forefront. Again, Netanyahu has been, in the past, post-October 7th, been very reluctant to have press conferences. He's now speaking and giving interviews to the Israeli press. So this shyness of Netanyahu to deal with hard questions about the failure of October the 7th has been overcome by the perceived success of the war against Iran. He's now become much more popular, or he feels that he can be more popular. He feels that he can give interviews, he can meet the Israeli press, and he's on his home ground where he feels very natural. Mr. Security is back selling Israeli security. The attack on Tehran is the opposite to October the 7th, which was the failure of the Netanyahu government.
It's so interesting. You mentioned that more and more people are worried that this could become a war of attrition, that it could go on for months. Is that a general sense that you're getting there? Are a lot of people thinking that? What's the general mood?
Again, the speculation is wait and see. If the Iranians make a classic mistake, which is close the Straits of Hormuz, the Americans would have to come back in. If they don't, America may well say, we did what we did. Thank you very much. We helped. We're now out of it. That leaves a bigger problem for Israel, because how do you stop the rockets? How do you stop the missiles which are landing every day in Israel? Iran is a huge place. This isn't Gaza. This isn't the West Bank. It's a huge, huge country, which means, you know, even if they fire one missile at Israel a day, that can take half, and it's a ballistic missile, that can put half the population into the shelters at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Neil, when we started the interview, you mentioned that these polls were taken before the involvement of the U.S.
Right.
How would you imagine they could change or might have changed had the poll happened after the involvement of the U.S.?
As long as the war seems to be successful, it will help Netanyahu. Like I said, the numbers are still preventing him from making a coalition. A 10-11 seat comeback is a huge gap to fill, and it's not just on the Likud. If this war goes on for not weeks but months, 6 months, or a year, Netanyahu could feel the effects of the polls again. At the moment, there's no protests allowed because of safety reasons. There's no demonstrations to remind the public of those hostages which are still being held in Gaza by Hamas. We discovered the bodies of 3 more hostages yesterday. So the issue of Gaza is still there. The issue of the hostages, which are still there, and the public opinion puts it that, or demands that Israel end the war in Gaza and get those hostages home. That's, at the moment, is less on the news cycle on Israeli press, but it's still there, and it's something which is a problem for Netanyahu.